Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. I invite you to leave your daily burdens at the door. Open your minds and hearts and be fully present for this time of fellowship and spiritual re-energizing. I'm Christy Anderson, the commissioned lay leader of this congregation. I'm joined by Worship Associate Lori McGee.
Hear the words of Black Elk, Oglala Lakota Medicine Man. You have noticed that everything an Indian does is in a circle. That is because the power of the world always works in circles, and everything tries to be round. The sky is round, and I have heard that Earth is round like a ball. And so are all the stars. The wind, in its greatest power, whirls. Birds make their nests in circles, for theirs is the same religion as ours. Even the seasons form a great circle in their changing and always come back again to where they were. The life of a person is a circle from childhood to childhood, and so it is in everything where power moves. Hope.
These words are excerpts written by the transcendentalist poet Walt Whitman from Leaves of Grass. I celebrate myself, and what I assume you shall assume, for every atom belonging to me as good belongs to you. The smoke of my breath echoes, ripples, whispers. My respiration and inspiration, the beating of my heart, the passing of blood and air through my lungs, the sniff of green leaves and dry leaves and of the shore and dark-colored sea rocks and of hay in the barn, the sound of my belched words, words lost to the eddies of the wind, the play of shine and shade on the trees as the supple boughs wag, the delight of alone or in the rush of the streets or along the fields and hillsides. The song of me rising from bed and meeting the sun. Stop this day and night with me, so you shall possess the good of the earth and sun. There are millions of suns left. You shall no longer take things at second or third hand, nor look through the eyes of the dead, nor feed on the specters in books. You shall not look through my eyes either, nor take things from me. You shall hear, touch, see all. Sure as the most certain shore, I and this mystery, here we stand. Clear and sweet is my soul, and clear and sweet is all that is not my soul. A child said, "What is the grass?" fetching it to me with full hands. How could I answer the child? I do not know what it is any more than he. I guess it must be the flag of my disposition, out of hopeful green stuff woven. Or I guess it is the handkerchief of the earth. Or I guess the grass is itself a child, the produced babe of the vegetation. And now it seems to me, the beautiful uncut hair of grass. I pass by death with the dying, and birth with the new washed babe. I am not contained just between my hat and boots. I am the mate and companion of all people, all just as immortal and fathomless as myself. Thank you.
This congregation supports and adores our Hogwarts program, which is heavily steeped in the mysterious world of wizards and magic. Also embracing ancient traditions, there are at least a dozen members of this congregation who label themselves as some form of pagan. In the reflections they shared with Christy, some voices said, "I am pagan." Some said, "I am Wiccan." One said, "I follow the Native American spirituality of my grandfather." And one said with a smile, "I am a Buddhist witch." Yet how much do we understand about the religious beliefs of the members who identify with paganism? It is our hope that today's service will be just the beginning of describing pagan beliefs and practices to promote better understanding of our Earth-centered UU members and appreciate their contribution to our rich tapestry of faith. Come, let us worship together.
Do you ever reflect upon your ancestors who lived hundreds, even thousands of years ago? We tend to think of ourselves as our own unique individuals who are largely shaped by our inborn personalities and experiences within our immediate families. Yet we are products of the genes, behaviors, and dreams of our family members who lived hundreds and thousands of years ago. Everyone here had ancestors who, at the time before the Common Era, practiced some form of religious polytheism rooted in strong connection to nature and the cycles of the season. I invite you now to close your eyes, if you wish, and contemplate upon your ancestors who were alive 2,000 years ago. Like us, they struggled, celebrated, and worshiped together in community. Join them and stand in awe of the mysteries of the natural forces. Thunder, wind, rainbows, eclipses. These powers are intimately connected to the land, its plants and animals, the source of survival. Life is guided by the repeating cycles of warmth and chill, birth and decay. Everything is alive with spirit and vitality. Animals, trees, the majestic mountains, and the mighty rivers. There is no separation of the human spirit from the reverberating spirit of the natural world. Knowing comes from the teachings of elders and from within. The heart, mind, and soul are attuned to the rhythms of nature, and decisions are guided by trust in the inner knowing. Powers from unknown sources beyond understanding beckon wonderment, fear, and a desire for understanding and control. The yearning for meaning evolves into great, colorful stories that are passed on from the wise elders, faces highlighted by moonlight and the glow from the crackling fire. These stories, songs, dances, and communal rituals bring a sense of power, meaning, connection to the cosmos, and nurture the warmth of human fellowship in a world otherwise filled with danger and uncertainty. Today, as in the past, we give thanks for our sense of connection to the universe and to one another. Amen. I ask you to hold in your hearts Pat Pinal, who returned home following surgery. Sadly, she's facing 6 months of chemotherapy and also the loss of her apartment, along with member Mary Mask, due to the sale of Silver Oaks. In 2 weeks, Pat will be joining her son in Baltimore, where she will undergo her chemo treatments. Her belongings will be placed in storage in Kent, as she's hoping to move back and find new housing following her chemo. She would appreciate receiving cards, phone calls, and visits over the next 2 weeks, although she asked that you please call ahead if you're going to visit. Pat asked me to extend her deep gratitude for all of the loving support that has been offered to her by the many people here. For the names mentioned aloud and for those we hold silently in the sanctuaries of our hearts, we pray that they find strength and comfort through the all-powerful presence of love. I offer this prayer adapted from early 19th century Welsh Unitarian minister and practicing Druid Edward Williams. O source of universal mystery, embraced by you, may we find strength, and in our strength, understanding, and in our understanding, perception, and in our perception, perception of goodness, and in our perception of goodness, love, the love of all life, and in love of life, may we stand in awe of the embracing universal mystery. Today, Lori and I will be speaking in the first person as a Druid and a Wiccan. Our statements will not necessarily coincide with our own personal beliefs. This is intended to offer a flavor of the beliefs of some Earth-centered UUs. We will, however, be including actual direct quotes from some of our Kent UU congregation members, including Becky Haynes, Julie Trainer, Denise Snyder-Markovich, and Lori McGee. And following the hymn of affirmation, both Lori and I will be sharing our actual perspectives.
Some people look at me with scorn when I say that I'm a pagan. It was not always that way. In ancient times, the invading Romans named my ancestors pagan, a Latin word meaning country dweller. They regarded my people, the Celts, as uneducated and unsophisticated, but the label pagan didn't have a religious connotation, as the Romans were also believers of many gods. It was not until the Romans and other Celts converted to Christianity that the term was used disparagingly to refer to any non-Christian who did not ascribe to monotheism and instead finds the spirit in all life forms. I am sometimes referred to as neo-pagan, a broad classification that includes Wiccans, Druids, and the Asatras who follow Scandinavian pagan traditions. Even though many who follow Native American spiritual traditions have been doing so for hundreds of generations, and they are not of European descent, followers of Native American spirituality are also sometimes included in the broad classification of neo-pagans. People in this country who identify themselves as pagan have only been doing so for about the last 40 years, making it a recent religious phenomena. Yet, pagans are one of the fastest growing groups in this country. Most people don't realize this because most of us don't publicly proclaim our pagan identity due to prejudice and discrimination. The number of pagans are tied with Buddhists as the fifth largest tradition in the U.S., following Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and Hinduism. All forms of paganism honor a divine energy that flows within and between all life in the material world. Two of our pagan members shared the following reflections. Paganism engages all of me, not just my head. I am a participant rather than an observer. Especially as I get older, I feel the need to feel pitched into the sacred from the mundane. I have felt touched by the divine, felt to be part of the divine in nature. Ritual can evoke that as well. I have searched for the place where these two things come together. I have found it in many and varied places. I experience nature as sacred. And please understand that I don't separate us from nature. I guess that I use Star Wars and the Force as the fastest and easiest way to explain that belief. The energy that is the life force of the universe flows through us and nature and everything else. I find it easier to reconnect with this energy in nature. The me that is me, my essence, is not lost when I am one with nature. It is simply me and everything else. I am still aware of myself, but I am not locked in this body. Yoga and nature have put me in that place. Drumming and nature have put me in that place. I experience nature as sacred, and everything is nature. Another member shares, pagan spirituality validates our existence as part of the whole, not separate. I think the divine is the life force within all of us, manifesting itself through us as the divine feminine, or masculine, or cat, or dog, or flower energy. It is all connected. We are not separate from the divine. We are the divine.
As a Druid, I follow in the footsteps of my Celtic ancestors. Beginning several centuries before the Common Era, the Celts inhabited the British Isles and Gaul, which included France, Germany, Belgium, Austria, Switzerland, and northern Italy. Within the Celtic population, there existed one class of people known as the Druids, who held elevated stature above the rest of their fellow Celts. For those earning the title Druid were the elite teachers, healers, philosophers, judges, and priests. When the Romans conquered my people in the 2nd and 3rd centuries of the Common Era, pagan form of worship and the Druids were driven underground. The wave of Christianity brought deadly persecution of pagans. By the 7th century, pagan worship and its earth-centered spirituality had disappeared. As the Celts had no written language, knowledge of them is gleaned from the Roman and Christian contemporaries of the Celts. As the Romans and Christians held antagonistic attitudes toward the so-called barbarian Celts, it's not clear whether these subjective writings are historically accurate. Although little is known about actual religious beliefs and practices of ancient Celts, songs and oral stories were preserved through the writings of Christian monks and live on today. Modern Druids and my other fellow neo-pagans have drawn inspiration not only from ancient European pagans, but from the American Transcendentalists as well. The Transcendentalists believed that each person was capable of having a direct relationship with the divine, and that affinity with nature was a key path to experiencing transcendence, as some believed that God was immanent within nature. Although the Transcendentalist movement was short-lived, it left an imprint upon Unitarianism. It instilled the possibility that divine transcendence was not limited just to Scripture. Transcendentalism promoted the radical idea that a sense of divinity existed within the material world rather than limiting God exclusively to the realm of heaven. And they espoused a universal God that was not restricted to a male authority figure. For example, influential Unitarian minister Theodore Parker referred to, quote, God our mother. a nature-centered, pantheistic perspective began emerging within Unitarianism, which grew to become a denomination that included more than just liberal Christians, as transcendentalists and secular humanists also began to find it to be a religious home.
I am a UU Wiccan. I say this comfortably within our congregation, but I hesitate to share this with most others. You might say many Wiccans are still in the broom closet. According to the website Religious Tolerance, Wiccans face the most victimization per capita of any minority group in the U.S. The biggest problem is fear, which is perpetuated by terms like witch, casting spells, and devil worship. To set the record straight, Wicca is a religion based on the principle of do no harm. There are some who practice witchcraft who engage in negative, even satanic activities, but these people are not Wiccans. Followers of Wicca generally adhere to beliefs and rituals that were written by the Englishman Gerald Gardner in 1954 in his book, Witchcraft Today. Gardner was influenced by his participation in a coven, the Freemason societies, medieval literature, and a friend who was a popular occult author. He created the word Wicca, which in Old English means sorcerer, wizard, or magician. Although Druids and Wiccans have some beliefs in common and seem similar to the outside observer, there are many differences. Wiccans worship in groups called covens. These are usually private gatherings. Many of us are also content to worship alone as well. In a group, we cast a circle to encompass our energy, which we use to move into harmony with the natural forces. We pierce the veil between the living and the dead and embrace the spirits of deceased loved ones as we venerate our elders. As one of our Kent UU church members exclaimed, "I love these rituals and the way they honor the sacred and the deeper meaning of life." Wiccans are an eclectic group and draw on pagan rituals from a variety of religious sources, unlike the Druids, who prefer to remain loyal to their Celtic traditions. We celebrate major holidays, which correspond to the seasons, as we live a life in concert with the rhythms of nature. The material world is sacred, and our symbol, the pentagram, represents this. The pentagram, earlier used by the Greek mathematician Pythagoras to mean unity, is a five-pointed star surrounded by a circle, also representing unity. Four of the points of the star represent the four elements: earth, air, water, and fire. The fifth point, the one on top, represents spirit. A pentagram that is worn upside down with the point downward is not a symbol of Wiccan. One of our pagan members stated that she was put off by the patriarchal nature of the Christian religion of her childhood and found that the idea of the divine feminine goddess, as well as the god, resonated with her. Another member summarized her feelings by stating, "The divine to me is both male and female, all inclusive and yet one. Like Unitarian Universalism, the powers that be are multiple personalities, diverse and yet one in common purpose, to grow ourselves to be the best we can be, to love and support all of us."
As Druids, we worship in groups called groves. We don't worship in private like the Wiccas. We say the more the merrier and invite anyone interested to join in our often public ceremonies. We honor the same holidays as the Wiccans, many of which are also celebrated by Christians and Unitarian Universalists. Because we have no sacred book or doctrine, our followers can be monotheists, pantheists, deists, Buddhists, Christians, or any other religious label. Some Druids believe in an afterlife, and some don't. Most of us believe in a flow of energy that exists within and between all humans, which is represented by our symbol, the Awen, which is on the cover of your order of service. It's the circle with three dots representing father, mother, and child, and three lines representing the flow of energy throughout the cosmos. Druids do not use the terms witch or spells, and we do not align ourselves with the occult. Like many religions, Druid orders in the U.S. have split off and diversified. One can now choose from traditional, reformed, reconstructionist, and New Age or eclectic Druid orders. Druids tend to focus more on personal development and inner spiritual growth, whereas Wiccans reach outward beyond themselves to feel more attuned with the divine. Druidism attracts more men than Wicca does. However, Wicca has many more total followers than Druidism. In fact, in this country, there are three times more people who identify themselves as Wiccans than there are people who identify as Unitarian Universalists. One obvious way to recognize the outward difference between a Druid and a Wiccan is to observe which symbol one wears. Another distinguishing feature is the color of the clothes they wear during worship. Modern Druids wear white, like the ancient Druids. White was a sacred color, as it could only be worn by people of distinction who could afford another set of clothes in addition to their work clothes. White was never worn for performing chores because it was too difficult to clean. Wiccans, on the other hand, prefer black clothing and a sense of mystery evoked by the color black. Although this makes it seem like it's easy to distinguish between Druids and Wiccans, it's not that simple, because some people consider themselves as both a follower of Wicca and a Druid. Like the impossibility of interviewing just one UU and trying to form from it a profile of the entire denomination, for every statement that we've made about a belief or practice of Wicca or Druids, there are many exceptions. In the 1970s, the profile of UU congregations, which was largely humanistic, began to change. It was a period when the women's movement and environmentalism were evolving. I'm not certain if pagans began to join UU congregations or whether it was a case where members already in the UU congregations began embracing paganism. Either way, UU congregations more and more included people who had a strong affinity with nature and who valued mystical experiences and inner intuition over rational thought as a source for finding meaning. Some in our congregation possess an affinity with nature and a strong intuitive power, as will be exemplified through Lori's personal insights.
When I started writing this reflection for the service with Christy, I realized that I couldn't remember a time in my life when my beliefs were anything other than what would be considered pagan. Although, of course, I didn't hear that term until much later in my life. I began having experiences with the spirit world at a very young age, which opened my mind to the possibility of a reality beyond what I could physically see. My first experience with the other world happened in 1976, after the death of my paternal great-grandmother. For a short time before entering a nursing home, she lived with my grandparents, with whom I also stayed on a regular basis. As a result, Grandma Millie and I became close. After she died, I flatly refused to sleep in the bedroom she had occupied for fear of seeing her. So when I stayed at my grandparents', I slept on the couch. Turns out, it didn't matter where I slept because I saw her anyway. At 8 years old, I had my first dream visitation, contact with the living by someone who has passed on through dream state. She stood at the end of the couch and told me to tell my grandmother, her daughter, that she was happy and well. My grandmother was skeptical, but I could tell that she wanted to believe me. It scared me pretty badly, and I slept with the lights on for many, many nights, decades afterwards. My experiences with the spirit world continued, and as I got older, I began to physically see spirits as well as feel and dream of them. I remember well my first vision of a spirit. I was about 11 or 12, and we were living in a house that had been built by my great-grandfather, my grandfather's father, around the turn of the last century. It was a funny little house with crooked walls and slanted floors. One evening, I was on my way to the bathroom. As I was on my way to the bathroom, I passed by my brother's room and saw my mother standing by his dresser. I figured she was putting away his clothes. Imagine my shock when I reached the bathroom and she was standing there washing her face. I ran back to my brother's room to find it empty. The white figure I saw was obviously not her. However, I was not afraid. On my own, I had learned to read or feel the energy that I was feeling, and it felt good, loving, and protective. I somehow knew it was my great-grandfather, whom I had never met. After that, both my mother and I started experiencing cold spots and mysterious touches in the house quite often. It was a very interesting time in my life. This experience opened my eyes to things beyond this world. I finally spoke with my mother about all I had experienced, and she explained to me that there is more to this world than meets the eye. She taught me about earth-centered beliefs and told me stories from her own childhood about how she used to go deep into the woods all by herself to make a circle from stones she gathered, in the middle of which she would sit for many hours, just absorbing all of the nature going on around her. Much later in her life, she learned how powerful the circle is and that what she was doing was something far more meaningful than she ever knew. From that point on, I set out to learn all I could about the spirit world, which led me to many other aspects of pagan tradition, like the fairy world, Wicca, psychic abilities, and much, much more. But like most young pagans, I kept these thoughts and beliefs to myself. I just intuited that I would be ridiculed for believing in fairies and ghosts. So I went to church like a good girl all the time, realizing that much of what I believed could be found in some form in the Catholic service, and at the same time realizing that we were all supposed to ignore, or better yet, be ignorant of, the pagan roots of the Catholic Mass and holidays. During this time, my mother gave me a book that would change my life. It was The Mists of Avalon by Marion Zimmer Bradley. For those who've not read it, the book tells the tale of King Arthur from the point of Morgaine, the villainess in many Arthurian legends. However, in Zimmer Bradley's version, Morgaine is the heroine, a queen of sorts, of the Isle of Avalon, a community of goddess-worshipping women equal in power to their male counterparts, the Druids. I cannot even begin to explain the impact this book had on me. Morgaine and I had much in common. She and I both shared the same psychic abilities and shared many of the same beliefs. This book was my first contact with someone, albeit fictional, like me. Fast forward almost 20 years. Through a friend, I met Carrie Kanya, a former Kentite who was offering classes in building one's psychic abilities. Through these series of three classes, I learned that I am clairvoyant, the ability to see events or people out of time or space, clairaudient, the ability to hear voices, clairsentient, the ability to feel emotions and physical sensations, which is empathy, also called a sensitive, and that I can see auras and practice lucid dreaming, which is the ability to control my dreams. I don't share these abilities widely because I have faced many skeptical and fearful people who don't understand that these abilities are not evil. They do not come from Satan, as I've been told, but rather from being connected to something greater than myself. I feel my abilities come directly from the fact that I feel very connected to the earth, to its cycles, to the moon, to the trees, plants, animals, to the soil itself. I feel the pain of a tree cut down and the joy of a flower opening in the spring. I knew that this church was my spiritual home because on my very first visit, May 1st, 2005, the service was a celebration of May Day. There was a mention of the gods and goddesses. There were prayers to the earth. Even the music spoke of leaves and plants and love. For the first time, I could be myself, and most surprising of all, be with people who also believed in an earth-centered tradition. And I'm very grateful to this community and all it has offered me because of that.
...150 years after the Transcendentalists offered their radical perspective, some tension in UU congregations continues to exist between those who are humanists and find scientific-based rational thinking as the source for meaning, and on the other hand, the mystics and the earth-centered pagans who value intuition and personal experience as the grounding for one's knowing and meaning. However, the integration of these two different perspectives in our congregation is not so strange when considering the many similarities that UU pagans have with non-pagan UUs. Consider this list of values which Unitarian Universalism and pagans embrace: the interconnected web of life and a unity or oneness of the cosmos, a reverence for nature, avoidance of dogmatic teachings, an inclusive attitude toward individuals pursuing their own path to meaning, the honoring of diversity, and a human-affirming sense of the unique beauty and power of the individual. Because of these many similar values, paganism interfaces well with Unitarian Universalism. Pagan members who shared their reflections with me stressed their great joy with being able to be part of a religious community where they can express their earth-centered beliefs. As one pagan said, "My beliefs are enhanced by being UU." I believe that we have been enriched by our congregation's diversity. Our Native American spiritual member created our beloved Hogwarts program, which continues after 10 years, due largely to the hard work of many of our earth-centered members. Some of our worship practices reflect earth-based symbolism, such as our child dedication ceremony and its incorporation of nature symbolism, which is similar to pagan naming ceremonies. This congregation has a keen sense of environmental awareness and activism and includes many of the founding fathers of the Kent Environmental Council. In fact, our connection to the physical world is deeply and irrevocably interwoven into the fabric of this church's culture. And for this, we give thanks to the spirit of our pagan ancestors, and the Unitarian Transcendentalists, and our contemporary neo-pagans, including Wiccans, Druids, Earth-centered followers, the Native American spiritual followers, and our Buddhist witch. This church's community's interconnected web is much more radiant and resilient due to the beauty of our many strands. May it continue to be so.
We are grateful to the spirits of the East, guardian of the air, of the soul, of the Great Spirit in all. We are grateful to the South. Wait, that was East. South. Guardian of fire, of masculine divine, of the great God. We are grateful to the West, guardian of water, of passion, of emotion. And we are grateful to the North, guardian of earth, of the feminine divine, of the great goddess. And we are grateful to this church community for all it gives us. The offering will now be accepted. As we leave today to go on our journeys into the world, I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them with the ancient pagan greeting, Merry we meet, merry we part, merry we meet again. Blessed be.